Well, howdy ho, everyone, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Mormon. It's lovely to be here with you. Hey, is that my friend Al right there?
Tis I. I'm here, Jeff. I made it back. Had kind of a crazy week this week, though, eh?
You did.
We were talking earlier. We almost had to record this show while I was sitting in my car somewhere in Denver. I mean, it was going to be tragic because it was freezing in Denver, but pretty intense week. I was traveling, had a lot of drive time, lots of time to listen to the radio and get my NPR fix in. So it's nice to be back in a bed for the first time in a week.
Yes.
It's tremendous. Very exciting. What about you? How'd your week go, man?
Obviously not as much fun as yours. I admit I was looking forward to the possibilities of doing the podcast with you. Where were you? You were like parked in a parking structure mooching Wi-Fi off an office building or something like that? Is that what you were doing when we tried this the first time?
It was the first time I ever had to war drive, is what we call it. War driving, looking for it with my laptop open, driving around neighborhoods. I was that creeper that was in the car outside the house. You're like, what's that guy doing there?
Yeah, so I loved the thought of us sitting there, Al with his little microphone set up to a laptop, like with a beanie on, freezing cold in his car, without the engine running because it would pick it up. So he's just sitting there bundled up freezing like he's some creepy man in a neighborhood.
Oh, the dedication we have to this podcast.
You see, yes, but we decided to forego that and wait until we would have a bit more of our regular setup to do the show. So
that's right. You do anything good for Valentine's Day?
I did many good things for Valentine's Day.
Did you make dinner for the lady friend?
I am often known to make dinner for ladies.
Good man.
It's true.
Good man. I drove for 12 hours. It was
that is also a romantic way to celebrate Saint Valentine.
Yeah, I called some women, which was that's how I celebrated. I speak to women. That's my celebration.
But sometimes it's the little victories, Al. That,
you know? Exactly. Exactly.
It's just baby steps. Baby steps to the door. Baby steps to the elevator.
Good reference, by the way. Well done.
I think we should reference What About Bob 5 times per show from now on out. I think that would be good.
All right. We'll see what we work
So with. I can't wait till the primary season for the next election because we can just say New Hampshire over and over again, and it'll be great. Anyway, so thanks for being here, everybody. Today, we have an exciting show.
Oh, we got a ton of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff. We've had a lot of things to filter through this week. But suffice it to say, I'll give you the brief rundown. This week we're going to talk about, there's no way to say it, the prevalence, the pornography epidemic, and especially in Canada, apparently. I guess the Olympics aren't enough for them. And a little bit of dating and the things associated with singles wards, conspiracy theories surrounding the church, and the either praised or lamented City Creek development in Salt Lake City. So we've got quite the full slate for you here today.
Yeah. So it was kind of a loaded lead in with the porn bit, but essentially there's a study done. This was kind of I thought it was kind of an interesting commentary on society a little bit, but there was a study done in Canada. Oh, and just because Canada conducted the study, I think the epidemic is more, you know, it knows no borders. It's not stopping at Buffalo by any means. It's
no,
coming down into our country.
It's the longest unprotected border in the world.
And pornography, beautiful, by the way.
Pornography can get through that just as well as terrorists and cheaper prescription drugs.
Well, it's good, actually, because I lived up in Canada for a while. And so the more, well, you know, NAFTA was very kind to me as I traveled back and forth. But so anyway, this study done in Canada, they wanted to compare the views of 20-something men who watch porn, pornography, and 20-somethings that don't. And so as they went to conduct this study, this was the lead researcher at the University of Montreal's School of Social Work. They go to conduct this study, and they couldn't find a single 20-something man who did not watch pornography or hadn't at least viewed it, you know, a few times that year, which is crazy to me. You know, they put the call out, they do the whole bit, and they can't find a single person to consider on that, on the other side of this study. And the thought that I had around that is just, You know, they're like, we've been warned for ages. Well, you know, like particularly probably the last 15 years or so, Gordon B. Hinckley kind of made it a mainstay of his warnings of, you know, beware of pornography, yada, 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 which, you know, it's a very serious thing.
yet you say yada, yada.
Well, I yada, yada through the best part, I guess. Yeah, okay. But, well,
the yada, yada. What's the yada?
So, but anyway, I mean, the idea, though, that it's become so prevalent that, well, they claim that 100% of 20-something men are viewing pornography, which obviously we know is not true.
No.
But I mean, that's a pretty kind of scary statistic for them to be throwing out off of this study, for that to be the result, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a frightening thing, because, I mean, aside from all of the bad effects associated with it, you know, in general, the addictive nature of everything and you know, that it's dirty and whatnot, one of the biggest things is it's wildly altering men's expectations of intimacy in the bedroom, which is it's like really distorting it, which I think is new, because with the prevalence of it on the internet, we're talking guys in their 20s, you know, guys that are getting married now that have been exposed to it since pornography took over the internet, have like weird ideas, I think, as for what intimacy is supposed to be.
Well, that's interesting too. Well, because my dad, you know, his explanation for, he sat me down as a 13-year-old, was like, look, you know, here's what we do and what we don't do, and we don't look at this. And his reasoning was, his question was, do you want to have a good sex life when you're married? I said, yeah. He said, then don't look at pornography. And I was like, all right, that kind of makes sense. You know, he explained kind of some of these same findings that this research is showing. And that was the rationale there, was, you know, hey, you know, if you want to be able to, just have a good, satisfying sex life that you don't have to do anything crazy to be satisfied for. You know, you don't have these pornography concepts going through your head as to what a relationship is. Then stay away from it, and you'll be fine. It was like, good old dad, man. He saw it coming.
Yeah, and that's, you know, good of your dad to lay it down that way. I think every family could do better with everything like that. It's just weird. I think it's warping a long-standing approach that has been there for millennia,
right,
to deal with something like that. And it's not to say the whole world needs to share our Latter-day Saint view on, you know, on intimacy and procreation and la-ti-da-ti-da, but this goes beyond the church. You know, this is really like reshaping the overall male psyche at large, and that's where I think it becomes really dangerous.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, they said, you know, almost 100% of males are exposed to this now. I mean, that's going to alter a lot of things. Well, like socially, that's going to alter a lot, or have a lot of ramifications down the road.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. Anyway, and of course, we don't know the nature of the study, like what they considered 100%. I would never think 100% watch in a progressive, you know, sense pornography, but I would say 100%, I'm sure, I've seen it. Just seen it. Even if just seeing it means you've, back in the day before there were good, you know, pop-up blockers and stuff. You know how it is. Just stuff like showed up and you're like, what is this? What's going on?
And you can't click the close button. I mean, they run away from you.
Yeah, it's click the close terrible button, and then more of them show up. It's like crazy, man. It's just like, I mean.
Anyway, we can put we'll put the study in the show notes. You guys can check it out for yourselves.
Check it out. Kind of interesting stuff. So going with interesting theories that surround the church. This isn't really news per se. This is something I stumbled on while we were looking around at other things. Anyway, I found a blog. I probably shouldn't advertise it, but whatever. Called
The Mormon Church Conspiracy.
Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, it's the Mormon Church Conspiracy. It really exists as a page to promote the wonderful book of an individual. And it's pretty funny, I think, because not that it's saying out-and-out lies about stuff in the church. It's more that it is saying stuff that's totally true. That's like, I'm like, well, yeah, duh, we do this. Like, duh. I mean, let's look at some fine comments here. It says, crazy, crazy things, like the fact that the church is estimated to be worth whatever it's worth. Ooh, okay. Or that there are 60,000, well, back then, because this is from like 2005, 60,000 missionaries in the world, all over the world, functioning as operations officers and or that because many young men have served in and studied the languages of foreign countries throughout the world, large numbers of them have been hired by the Federal Central Intelligence Agency and therefore are in significant control of a significant amount of CIA activities.
Well, I don't know. Like, obviously, this isn't news, but it is kind of entertaining, just because it's a common theme in Mormon, well, in like, kind of anti-Mormon sentiment or Mormon conspiracy theorists. Well, because it's the same. Like, we're not alone in getting this kind of juju. I mean, it's like the Masons have the same problem, yeah, with people that are like, the Masons are everywhere. Ergo, at any time, their leader could say, Tubal Cain, and out they go. And, you know, like, or I'm sure other religions, well, obviously other religions. I mean, what do we have? Angels and demons, or what was that other one? The Da Vinci, yeah, Code. I mean, it's that same kind of stuff where it's just like.
You mean Catholicism? Catholicism.
You put all the pieces together, which for us is kind of, it's funny to read through this because it's like, yeah, none of this even sounds weird to me at all. I mean, the fact that we have a missionary force, the fact that we have assets and investments as a church, like the fact that they manage their money and that they have a radio network, which I suppose we're part of the conspiracy, Jeff. Now that we're distributing media.
No, we are. And this just cracks me up because it's just like, in states with a high concentration of Mormon churches, non-Mormon boys who want to be in Boy Scouts must join the church-sponsored group. Okay. the church hierarchy hold the keys to the temple, and members must remain loyal and obedient to the church in order to get a temple recommend that allows entrance therein. Even parents of the bride and groom must have a temple recommend to attend the weddings of their sons and daughters. Like, how is that conspiracy? That's just church policy. Or... Hey. Or look at this. The BYU, because of all of the different wards and stakes and leaders, there are at least 100,000 leadership positions for Mormon priesthood holders to assume.
And
BYU,
and they're an educated. I don't know. We're spending a lot of time on this for a non-news story, but still, I mean, it is entertaining.
It's ridiculous, man. I just meant like everything I read on this, because it's just like, it's not like it's wildly just out there allegations that we get a lot of the time where you're like, okay, that's just not true, you know? Instead, it's just stuff that is, like, totally true in the church, and I'm like, well, yeah. Like, what's your point? I mean, the fact that, like, if you order a Book of Mormon or something through a television ad, that missionaries come to deliver it to you, and they treat this as if it's, you know,
a
wolf in sheep's clothing.
Speaking of conspiracies... There was a, let's move right on to the dating story.
All right, fine.
That's my best segue I could come up with.
Al loves dating more than he loves conspiracy, so I guess it's fair.
It's simply not true.
It's okay.
Well,
it's okay.
Well, so there was one, you know, in collecting news stories, we come across the MormonTimes.com, which does, you know, a lot of kind of the Mormon-esque news stuff. But they're running a contest this week, which is just kind of a goofy little bit, but they're running a contest looking for a 20-something single Mormon to write a weekly dating blog.
A dating blog.
With the idea being, I'm assuming, that they will chronicle the dating life of this single Mormon dater, and all the drama that goes therein, which I think... And I'm just, as a pet peeve, I'm just going to come out and say this. No, thank you. Please, please, please don't. We don't need this.
I think we need this for you, Al. I think we need your dating blog. Because you've told me some stories in the past that would be like the stuff of internet legend.
Oh, absolutely. I will never blog. I mean, there's not enough. Well, for a Mormon single, right? What are your options? You go to the singles ward, you date the people that are attractive to you, and then you repeat and do again until you find success. I mean, really, you're going to fail every time till you get it right. Like the interest in following a 20 something Mormon singles dating life is wholly unappealing to me. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't be more of a turnoff news. I mean, it just seems enough with the Mormon dating scene. I mean, it's just too much for me.
Done. Oh,
I'm wow. sick of it. Sick
it is because
it.
You have yet to embrace the interweb to find a mate.
Oh, dude. So
you have yet to embrace it.
I'm home for the holiday, right? I'm home for the holiday, yeah. and I leave my laptop running to run down to the store and grab some chocolate milk for lunch, because that's what I eat for lunch is a half gallon of chocolate milk. And so I run out and I come back, and on my laptop is sitting an insert from this week's newspaper here in Kansas City. That's I can pull it up here. Love online. Internet dating tips, techniques, success stories, and failures. And like, you know, being single in the LDS community, like if you're over 25 in the LDS single community, that's like 50 in Mormon years. I mean, you're done. You're over the hill. You're gone. It's over. And so obviously you're going to draw a lot of the attention, right? You go home for a visit or you go to a family ward. They don't know what to do with you. They're like, yeah, go teach the Sunbeams maybe. I don't know. Just do what you do and be single and off you go. We get enough of the drama, man. We just don't need more focus brought. I don't want any more attention. No more. Done.
Oh,
no, thank you.
If you must.
So anyway, that's my rant.
Or what we do. Anyone who's listening, we create like a faux blog and we submit it like for
we'll
this week in Mormons,
the contest.
But we don't tell anyone. And instead we submit it as if it's a regular blog and tread that fine line between, you know, the preposterous and the legit. So it seems legit. And maybe we could win this contest. And then
best
publicity
stunt in the world.
Because the winner we'll get thousands of readers with a permanent columnist spot on our website, as well as a bit of dating money for each weekly blog. Still not enough? She or he, notice how they don't say he or
20,
she, they say she or he, will be awarded with a weekly deadline. They'll be awarded with a weekly deadline. Guffaw.
Guffaw, you dork. All right, anyway.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Enough with this. We just, no thank you. That's all.
Really,
I
think the only
That's
reason we brought that up, Al just felt like ranting about it. But the singles scene, it is interesting being a young single adult, I believe. I think the whole crew often feels misunderstood. And it's understandable because it's like this whole different world. I mean, really, family wards do not understand what goes on in a singles ward, I don't think.
No, well,
I mean,
well,
at
you
all.
Get a bishop in a family ward. I mean, it's a completely different chalupa.
Oh, it's
so
like night. It's like night and day. I mean, I know I'm sure the bishop in a singles ward has, you know, yeah, he still has some responsibilities with welfare and with things of that nature. But by and large, it's like making sure kids are employed and then keeping them all from having sex.
Right.
And you know, and just taking care of them. Whereas a family ward, obviously, they're. You know, he doesn't have to serve as a marriage counselor. He might be a relationship counselor. I've certainly done that in my YSA days with the bishop. But it's an interesting thing. Now, one thing, so we're talking about, right? Al, of course, is frustrated with the single life and with the pressure and with the pressure to be felt. And Al, you said something before. You said that, you know, you date the people in your ward because that's what's there.
Right.
By and large, you know, unless you're, you know, I mean, you go to activities, you got to branch out because sometimes the well runs dry in your ward. And then what else are you supposed to do?
Unless you're an international jet setter, such as myself.
Unless you are an international jet setter. But so what do many people do then when they're trying to
I don't
know,
Jeff, what do they do?
When they're trying to find greener pastures, right? What do they do? What do they do? They ward hop.
No.
They do. It's true.
It's too much.
There is ward hopping. Ward hoppage, if you will.
I would.
Okay. I would not, actually. So maybe this is a point of discussion that we should have. I would not ward hop.
And
I don't
why
know how
is that?
I don't know how you actually feel about ward hopping, Al, if you think it's kosher or not. But I've been anti-ward hopping for as long as I can remember for many reasons. And there's an article, I was inspired by an article I read recently about this. Because, you know, basically you're ward hopping. What's the point? It's sure you can say, I'm still going to church. Right. But if you're going to church in different wards all over the place, you know, if everyone did that at once, like, the church wouldn't function.
That's true. I mean, in theory, they could destroy the entire singles ward scene. But I don't know. I really don't see there being much of an issue with ward hopping in all candor. I mean, it's something that, so you go to different wards, you meet new people, who cares?
Well, I guess because it takes away. I mean, I'm a firm believer that, I think there's a difference. There's ward hopping just for the sake of doing it. I get that a little bit more, like, you might just want to, because, you know, that's like no different than just traveling some week and going to a different ward.
Right.
So I kind of get that. But if you're shirking your responsibilities in your ward, I don't think that's cool.
Well, of course you gotta cover the home base. But, well, and before I get too wrapped up in it, I always remember the Earl Tingey quote from back in the day. He was given some fireside, like, I think a CES broadcast, and his quote is, "If you have two bishops, you have no bishop." And I don't know. Well,
it is true.
I think I tend to agree with that, but I really don't see there being much harm in chasing the social aspect of it. I mean, if you're in a ward with 30 people and there's really nobody there for you, and you're not interested in any of them, why not, you know, after church or before your meetings start, scoot down to the other ward, go find some sweet,
I think if it happens just to do visiting,
cleave unto her.
Okay. Maybe not. I think if it happens though, and you are, like, looking to find a new ward because you don't like your ward, the social scene, I don't think that's cool. Because I think if you live in your boundaries, you need to go to that ward. I mean, there are exceptions, and bishops should always, you know, weigh those on a case-by-case basis. But by and large, I mean, if you live somewhere because you live somewhere, and I think it's really of detriment to a lot of wards. I've seen that in wards that I've been in before, where one ward's kind of the bigger one, and then other people from outside of its boundaries start coming in, and they're let into the ward. And then little by little, this has suddenly become kind of like the heavyweight ward, and it's like draining on the ones that are around it.
Yeah. No. It's...
Whereas these people are trying to flee like a ward they don't want to be in. And I just don't like that mentality. Like, I don't want to be in that ward, because the church I don't want to be in your ward.
Here's where I agree with you, is that you shouldn't go searching for the ward that you like the most and choose that one.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge problem.
But ward hopping, you know, just going from ward to ward. Like, if you wanted to hit three in a Sunday, I mean, make a whole day out of church. Who cares? I don't mind.
I would say if it's a period, if it's something you just do at some point because you want to get out, then that's not the end of the world. I don't think, anyway. But yeah. So anyway, you know where I stand. But I don't think you should be moving around. If you move outside of your ward boundaries and you've moved, unless you have a really, really good reason, you should help out the new place you're moving into, because they need good
agreed.
People to help.
Agreed.
Out, so. That's my two cents on that. We've both ranted today.
So we are in violent agreement.
Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh. So anyway, I guess we can get out of the whole dating thing. I don't like to dwell on that too much, because it is kind of rote and cliche.
And not all of our listeners are, well, maybe a few are single.
Sadly, we don't know all the demographics, but I'm sure a wide number of them are single indeed and can empathize with what we say. So I can only speak as a commentator. You don't have to heed my words as if I'm an authoritative figure or anything like that, but you have my two cents. So Al, I was wondering about something.
Yes,
sir. Are you familiar with this whole City Creek project that's being put up in Salt Lake City?
A little bit.
Okay, a little bit. Do you remember anything about it? I just feel like quizzing you for the sake of quizzing you.
that essentially they didn't it pass? Like, from what I understand, this last week it did. It passed.
What is this? It's not an ordinance, sir. It is a construction. No, it's a construction development.
Oh, pardon me.
Most people in Utah are familiar with this. It's, you know, the church has owned the land south of Temple Square for a long time, where the old Crossroads Center and the ZCMI Center were. And I think that's Main Street that bisects those. Anyway, it was no big secret that both of those places have become kind of dilapidated and ridiculous. for lack of a better term, especially because they were weird. It was like they built malls that wove between office buildings, so it was the most convoluted layout I've ever seen in my life for anything like that. Anyway, the point is the church has wanted to just tear all this down, and build this big old City Creek project, which is like everything nowadays, mixed use, condominiums, shops, office buildings, you know, everything right there.
It's a ZCMI center.
Yeah, no, but it's all gone. It's all gone. It's all going City Creek now. And it's called City Creek because of the famous City Creek in Salt Lake City, which will be like rebuilt for that section or something like that. Anyway, it's funny how much opposition this thing has had from a lot of residents, because the church gets bad press because people think there's a lot of people that feel that the church is this giant for-profit corporation. I mean, if you remember, there was that years ago, like 10 years ago, there was a Time magazine article called Mormon Inc. Like
right. No, that wasn't even 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was early 2000s, whenever it was. So, and I get that, but how do you think a lot of the things are funded that we do? I mean, City Creek is not the church. These are not tithing funds building this. This is the church church owns development companies that oversee this, and I don't think that's really the end of the world. And the church pays taxes on anything that's for profit, and people are trying to treat this like we're trying to, you know, be a tax exempt church and build great establishments to make money and not pay taxes on it. And da 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 da.
Was I saw some of that in the comments, right?
The comments were hilarious because there was like rage from people, which surprised me because I feel like. The one thing I do get is that a lot of these are nice condominiums, and with the housing bust, I worry about these becoming like empty shell buildings with no tenants.
Well, Utah's got a pretty strong housing market, even still, outside of some of those cities.
It's pretty good, but some people have felt that City Creek might be too big for Salt Lake City.
Oh, like, gotcha.
Because you're talking like 15,000 people could live in this immediate thing right there. Well, I mean, that's massive. So these are the naysayers. I am a believer that this has come down from the powers that be to organize it, so I trust it'll be okay in the end. Though there's one thing where it might have been a misstep, and I have to comment on this. City Creek's food court has been open since last year. And do you know whom its tenants are?
Sparrow.
Yes, it is. McDonald's, Great Steak, Sparrow, and Chinese and Japanese eateries, which makes this sound exactly like the food court from the ZCMI Center.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's like exciting.
Like they say this, and I'm picturing in my head, like that big green door across the street from the Joseph Smith building.
Well, you could never have enough Sbarro. I mean, that greasy pizza, it keeps you regular.
Yeah, so that one just made me laugh because I'm like, wait a minute. We're doing this whole snazzy thing and we're putting in a Sparrow. I mean, it's Sparrow. You can even get away with McDonald's, but when you put in Sparrow, it's the ultimate thing saying this is just a whatever mall. Have a Sparrow. Because you don't get Sparrow at it's more in trend and vogue now to have kind of the outdoor shopping thing. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like the Gateway in Salt Lake, or you know, they're all over the place. Countless.
For the hipsters.
Where all the hipsters hang out, yeah. All junk. So the City Creek thing is, I'll admit I don't know a ton about it. I've tried to learn more about it. I was familiar with it, but it's funny getting the opposition. So if any of you have thoughts or comments on it or understand more about it, by all means, you should chime off at the page at at thisweekinmormons.com, or send us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. You should do that, as always,
Hook it up.
You have to say.
They also, I just wanted to make mention of, the Olympics started on Friday.
I love the Olympics so much.
Dude, the Olympics are fantastic. We got a couple of token Mormons in there representing, so good on them. And good
gonna,
luck.
Are you going to name any of them, or do you just want to mention that there are Mormons?
Let's see.
We've got
I was just kind of bringing it up. We've got Steve Nyman. Neiman, maybe. Eric Fisher.
Love him.
Christian Nickum. Tora Bright. No. Not her. Wow. She is a good looking woman. If that woman is LDS, I'm taking a trip. I'm taking a trip to Australia. Done. And I'm ward hopping to Australia.
Oh, she's an Aussie? What is her name? What is her name, sir?
Tora Bright. That.
Hello?
Tora Bright is her name.
That's an interesting.
Says that she is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She competes Thursday. We'll all watch. Anyway. But so what I wanted to say was congratulations, good luck to those guys, and rock it out. Also, by way of announcement, I need to redact a comment from last week's episode. Our maiden episode, our very first one. I made a pretty audacious comment. Well, I assumed that because North Dakota is so remote, and it's the one state of...
I love where this is going already.
It's the one state of all of them that I haven't ever found reason to visit. I assumed that there was not a temple there. However, the good man, Rick Satterfield over at LDSTemples.com. Is that right?
LDSChurchTemples.com. Great LDS, website. Great
LDS
website.
Church Temples. Yeah, you use them all the time, as do I. But anyway, Rick Satterfield was kind enough to come onto our blog and leave a little clarification saying that, and I quote, "There is indeed a temple in North Dakota. It's been there for over 10 years. It offers only 7 endowment sessions a week." Unquote. So it's a very small temple. I apologize to all of North Dakota and those in South Dakota that frequent that temple as well. My apologies.
Yeah, because South Dakota does not have a temple.
No.
South Dakota.
I knew it was one of them. It was a 50-50. I lost.
Maybe North Dakota lobbied for it since South Dakota gets all the tourists.
Yeah, they got Rushmore.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, they're...
With the American flag hoo-ha that they do.
It's funny looking at this. I'm trying to think which states don't have temples. South Dakota? What, Wyoming doesn't have one?
Oh, also by way of announcement, kind of a little follow-up from last week, last week's tech discussion, LDS tech type stuff. This week we came across the website, what was it, tech.lds.org.
Yeah, the official tech portal of the LDS Church.
Which they're kind of doing some of the stuff like we were talking about, which is funny because I had no idea this even existed until I researched it a little bit more. But they have, it's a controlled open source approach to developing some software. And they even have a iPhone app for the LDS library.
It's funny because I was talking about this last week that I wish there was some kind of general church app that would have the scriptures and magazines and hoo-ha. And lo and behold, it is called the Mormon Channel Project. And it's right there. So it's funny because it's called the Mormon Channel. The Mormon Channel is I don't know if you're familiar with this, the church's official radio station. It's an online radio station. It launched, I think, last July.
Not that great. I've tried to listen to it a few times and it's mediocre at best, average, subpar.
Well, it'll get better, but it's great that they have. So it's funny. It's called the Mormon Channel app, but it looks like it has all the ensigns and the scriptures, and this and that. So the very thing that I was wishing existed last week apparently does exist, but it only exists for iPhone right now. But apparently there will be a 2.0 version, which will be released for all the other major mobile phone platforms. So I look forward to that, giving it a go when it comes out for Android, because you know I'm a devout Android user.
And they also have a Google Maps based, which I've known for a long time. Like if you go to Mormons.org, you can click on the Worship With Us link to find your local.
But
it's got a quick link. You can go maps.lds.org. I mean, well, they've got some cool projects that they're working on.
And I like that too. I've noticed the better maps, but through the church's website, I didn't realize they had their own URL for maps.lds.org, which is great. I think that's great. Yep. That way you can just type that
Be using that in the future.
Easy.
So, we just wanted to give those couple of updates on that, and my sincere apologies to all of North Dakota.
And we thank Rick Satterfield one for listening in the first place and for correcting us.
I know that was very flattering. I was like, I was like, wow, this guy, I was awestruck when I read his name.
I know, it was like meeting Cher. It was amazing.
Exactly.
Anyway, all right. So I think this is going to do it for this week, isn't it?
Is that 30 minutes already? Shoot.
The time flies when you and I are ranting and raving about stuff. It's true.
Anyway, if you guys have if you have any kind of tips for us or stories you want talked about, go ahead and send them over to contact@thisweekinmormons.com, and we'll be happy to try and work it in there, see what's interesting to us. And, yeah, we're glad to hang out.
Yeah, and please, we love your feedback. That's what we want. Feedback is that gives us ideas, and we just love to hear what you think. So, yeah, contact us and go to the webpage, of course, at thisweekinmormons.com.
Jeff, always a pleasure, my friend.
Al, I fear the pleasure is all mine this time around.
all right, man.
As it always is. All right, so Al, we'll see you, buddy.
Okay, see you guys.
See you later. And this is This Week in Mormons for this week. Thank you. Bye. Bye.